We're going to be talking about the scripture where the Lord Jesus Christ talked about peace. This, of course, is a subject that is on the minds of millions and billions in the world. And today, with our modern world of rapid communication, it's easy to get discouraged when we see wars and rumors of wars. But you know, the Lord Jesus Christ said that you shall see wars and rumors of wars. And he could say that assuredly, not only because he was the Son of God, but assuredly because he knew the heart of man. And the heart of man tends towards wars, tends towards fighting, tends towards disagreements. But today it seems that the world is filled with violence and there will never be a time of peace. But Jesus also told us that when ye hear of wars and rumors of wars, see that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. You know, those words are comforting words. They're words to tell us to be stable. That these things are going to come, and though they come, we're to not be troubled. It's hard to understand that because it's natural to be troubled when these things take place, but our Lord told us not to be troubled. You know, Jesus Christ taught us on a higher plane than the plane of this world. He taught us to look at things through spiritual eyes, which is where eyes of faith are to look and to focus on things above. We're to focus on things above. We're to focus on things which are kingdom things. So when he spoke of peace, he knew we would think of wars which bring an absence of peace. So he told us of another kind of peace, and he called it his peace. Jesus Christ has a peace, and he called it his peace. Now Jesus, when he said this, was near the point where he was to return to his Father, and he knew the hearts of his disciples were troubled. He had told them about leaving, but he also had told them of the Comforter that would come in his place. My, when you're troubled, isn't it nice? Isn't it wonderful to have a Comforter? You know, little children love comforters, don't they? They see trouble and they feel trouble and they run to their mother. That's their Comforter. But Jesus Christ knew that his disciples were troubled, and he said that there's going to be a Comforter that will come in my place. He had told the disciples that his Father would send them one who would instruct them as to the things that he had said. And he said, he will come in my name. He will enlighten you as to what I have said. He will come in my stead. He will come in my interests. He will come with my authority, and he shall speak of me. And he said, just as I have made known the Father, he will make my words known unto you. Just as I have glorified the Father, so will he glorify me. And he told them these comforting words of the book of John, where he said, peace I leave with you. And then he gave that kind of peace a connection with himself by calling it my peace. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. This is a peace that the world does not know. Oh, how the world desires peace. But you know, the world always desires the wrong thing. And he said, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So peace I leave with you. Because of Jesus Christ, the disciples were to be at peace with God. Because of Jesus Christ, the war with God was to be over. This is the kind of peace that Jesus Christ is talking about. Because of Jesus Christ, God's wrath will be stayed and will no longer be aimed at the disciples. There is peace with God because of the atoning work of Christ to come. Because of the work of Christ, God will be satisfied that the sin debt is paid. And therefore, he can say, "My peace I give to you." And that kind of peace is only possible because of Jesus Christ. So he says, "My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you." You know, Rob, in prayer meeting before we came, he said this verse, "This is the peace of God that passes all understanding. This is the peace that shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." The peace that is in the heart of a believer while the world tumbles down around it. You can have that kind of peace. Wars and rumors of wars will come. But Jesus Christ said that cannot disturb this kind of peace. For this is the kind of peace that the world cannot understand. And this peace will be enjoyed through the indwelling Spirit of truth, the Comforter who speaks of Christ. You know, the end of enmity, which the enmity, of course, is that battle, that war that lies within. The end of enmity with God brought one peace. The result of that peace with God is inner peace of the heart. So therefore, Jesus Christ concludes with the admonition, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Now, let not, when you come to the words "let not" in the Scriptures, it means don't permit it. You know, you have a will about permitting what troubles you. And Jesus Christ says, don't permit it. Don't let your heart to be troubled. Now, when Jesus Christ gives a command, he always gives you the wherewithal to obey that command. Jesus Christ equips his own to have an untroubled heart and to be not afraid. Now, to believe that takes faith. In other words, you can walk in this world where there are wars and rumors of wars and not be afraid and not be troubled. Didn't Jesus Christ tell you that these are to come about? So why are we surprised? Why are we surprised when the wicked do wicked things? The wicked are made to do wicked things. They have a heart to do wicked things. So we ought not to be troubled. And therefore he can say and command us to not let our hearts be troubled and neither be it afraid. Now if you look back in chapter 14 of John, you will see how he equipped his disciples of old to obey this command. You know, God always equips us for the things he intends for us to do. We're the army of God, therefore we get the uniforms, we get the weapons, we get all the provisions that we need in order to fight the battles that God gives us. Now, first in chapter 14, he assured them that he was going to the Father's house and that he would make provision for their coming to join him. Now that ought to eliminate trouble in our hearts, to think that someday we're going to join the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the necessary preparations were completed, he would come and conduct us there. Now he had opened the way for them. He had made them acquainted with the way, for he said, I am the way. And he would give them the wherewithal necessary to go that way. God equips you to walk the way. He told the disciples that he's not going to withdraw from them the miraculous powers that he had conferred upon them, but he would give them those powers to do greater things than he did. And he told them whatever they needed to carry out the work to which he had called them, and upon asking the Father in his name, they would certainly obtain from his hand. So all things would be given. And then he told them upon his departure, a divine person would be sent to take his place, and that person of the Holy Spirit would be their instructor, would be their guide, would be their protector, and be their comforter and consoler. And he promised to never leave them, nor forsake them. He told them that he would make them possessors of an endless life. Not some life to be endless in the future, but eternal life from the day of salvation. Do you know that? If you're saved, you're living in eternal life. And then promising them that they would be one with the Father and one with the Son. Telling them he would show himself to those who kept his commandments, assuring them that he who kept his word would be loved by the Father. And in order for all of us to know these things, he promised that the Holy Spirit would bring back to their remembrance all things Christ had said unto them. You know, that was not only for them, but that was for us. Because of that promise, we have this book so that we can enjoy what they were equipped with as we do his service. So peace he left with them, his own peace he bequeathed unto them. And therefore he could say this wonderful command, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Don't permit it. Don't let your mind go into places where it's troubling. Don't let your mind go into places that bring fear. Let your mind go in his word. Let your mind go in that which he equips you to walk the way. You know, we can have that kind of heart because the disciples were given that which brings that kind of heart of trust, and they were told to record that for us. We also can have this heart of peace, if we use those things which he has provided. And therefore he can say, with full authority, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Why? Whose mind is stayed on me? Because he trusteth. See, he trusteth in me. We have no excuse in this age or any age to be afraid. You know, we're walking hand in hand with the Lord, trusting in the Lord, knowing that God is still on the throne, and a mighty God is he. Father, we are thankful for this wonderful scripture that tells us, Father, that commands us to not be afraid, to have your peace, to walk in the way that you've chosen for us, for we know that you'll always be with us, never forsaking us, never leaving us. And Father, we have no reason to be afraid with that kind of trust. We pray now, Father, to go with us as we go to our homes. Please guide every mile that we go to our homes, Father, and keep us safe. And guide our pastors, Lord, also as they finish up their journey from Pensacola when they land and home. Help them to be safe also. Give us a wonderful day tomorrow, trusting in you, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you.